answer you to, he'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came unto him by night. It is written, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that thou doest except God be with him. It is written, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is written, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?
For God is just a prayer away.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it will, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but knowest not whither it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, ye must be born again. Ye children of men, attend to the word, so solemnly uttered, so often you've heard. And let not this message to you be in vain, ye must be born again. O ye who would enter that glorious rest and sing with the ransomed, the song of the blessed, the life everlasting if you would obtain, ye must be born again. A dear one in heaven, thy heart yearns to see, at the beautiful gate may be watching for thee. Then list to the note of this solemn refrain, ye must be born again.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, Jesus and Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou hast done, except God be with him. So as we read this story and observe the exchange of words between the Lord and Nicodemus, there are certain terms used that get our attention. One word that reaches out and grabs us is the word night. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. This word night seems to have special emphasis, especially when we consider that Nicodemus is mentioned three times in Scripture, and each time we are reminded that he came to Jesus by night. It may appear that he came by night, being a ruler of the Jews, because he did not want anyone to know he was interested in the Lord. So he came to Jesus in the dark of the night. There are many like Nicodemus who prefer to keep a low profile on their relationship with the Lord and seem to refrain from looking too religious before their irreligious friends. It is good to serve the Lord as long as you keep on a good term with the devil. We wonder what this nighttime visitor thought of the words of Jesus when the Lord said in verses 19 and 20 that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his works be reproved. Those who are in the dark do not want their sins reproved. That is why so much preaching today has little to say about repentance. People don't want to hear it. One popular preacher was written up in the news and explained his reason for success was not preaching upon sins and judgment. It makes people feel worse after the services than when they came in. It appears the best program in preaching is a low profile on repentance and much stress on how much God loves them. In John 7, the second time Nicodemus is mentioned is when he who came before him by night asked his fellow rulers, "If our law condemns a man before he can be heard," they sneered at him. Nicodemus at this point seems to be coming into the twilight. The third time he is mentioned is in John 19, after the crucifixion, when the apostle says, "Then came Nicodemus, he who came to him by night, and they took him down from the cross." Ladies and gentlemen, at last, he who came to him by night came to Jesus while there was still daylight. Jesus reminds us of the danger of walking in the dark. In John 12:25, when he said, "He that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." There are many references to this. The five foolish virgins in Matthew 25 did not know they were walking in the dark. It was at midnight they heard the cry, "Behold the bridegroom, come ye forth to meet him," and the door was shut. Think also of the unprofitable servant in the same chapter who was cast out into the utter darkness, and the rejectors of the gospel invitation in Matthew 22, those who were bound hand and foot and cast into the utter darkness. Then there is the rich man in Luke 12, of whom Jesus said, "This night is thy soul required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be?" And who can forget Judas on the night of betrayal in John 13, when the apostle tells us, "And straightway Judas went out, and it was night." Judas left the light and went out into eternal darkness, and we must make passing reference to some of the fallen angels when Jude reminds us God has kept in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Some seem to prefer the dark rather than the light, as we are told in John 1. "The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Some are so accustomed to the dark that they think they are walking in the light. At the first time going into a theater, everything seems pitch dark. After we sit there for a while and become accustomed to the dark, we can look around and see much better. People in modern America have seen so much porn in magazines and movies in varying degrees that they have become accustomed to it and think that they are in the light. Remember how it is with people who work in keeping the peace, the policemen? It is not just a coincidence that in darkened areas they carry their nightsticks for their protection than for ours. The Christian's battle against the forces of evil is a battle in the dark. In Ephesians 6, Paul reminds us, "For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in high places. Our fight is against an enemy invisible and in the dark. The devil is the king of the night." But the Christian is not left defenseless. We have a spiritual enemy that cannot be seen, but we have been given a spiritual weapon that can help us overcome. In Romans 13, Paul reminds us to put aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. The best way to overcome the darkness of a room is to turn on the light. In Psalms 119, verse 105, it is written, "Thy word is a lamp unto our feet." That lamp of the word of the God will lighten our way from the darkness of this world into the heaven, where John writes in Revelation 22 and says, "And there shall be night no more." Most Christians, it seems, are walking around in semi-darkness. Since they depend on the word of the preacher and spend little time with the only sure guide we have, "Thy word, O God, is a lamp unto our feet." And now a second word that comes to our attention is the word wind. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except one be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. The wind, he said, bloweth where it will, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and knowest not whether it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." This statement helped Nicodemus understand the new birth. We cannot see the wind, but we know that it does exist because we see and feel the power of it. The new birth is an obvious reference to the ordinance of baptism. A baptism by immersion is a picture of a birth coming up out of the water. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, baptized by one Spirit into the one body. We can see a baptismal ceremony, but like the wind, we cannot see how a person buried in the water is buried with Christ in baptism and contacts his saving blood in the act of forgiveness of sins. Remember, we are not required to understand everything the Bible teaches, but we are required to believe it. So Nicodemus came to Jesus in the dark, but Jesus was willing to talk to him just as he was, and his counsel finally led him into the right direction, from the darkness into the light. We need to remember that there are other winds that blow besides the wind of the Holy Spirit. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul speaks of false doctrine. Listen as he says, "Be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men in craftiness, after the wiles of error." In the 11th chapter of Matthew, we find an apt illustration of how false doctrine works. Jesus asked the multitude concerning John the Baptist, "What went ye out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A reed grows by the riverbank and will bend whichever way the wind blows." The question was, is this what you were looking for in a preacher? One who bends to whatever prevailing wind is blowing at the time? That reminds me of the teacher years ago I read about who went to get a job in a local school system. The powers that be asked him how he taught geography. He said there are two schools of thought on the question. One school of thought teaches that the world is flat. One teaches that the world is round. I myself am prepared to teach it either way. There is a disease that has infected the brotherhood in recent years. I have looked through the microscope of faith, and I think I have identified the germ. It is called the bends. Whenever a preacher is infected by the bends, it isn't long until he comes down with a full-blown case of benditis. Our motto should be, where the Bible speaks, we speak. And where the Bible is silent, we are silent. Today, the most appropriate motto would be, anything goes. Things are not going to get any better. They're going to get worse. Because the wind is blowing hard across the pulpits of the land. Another teaching regarding the wind is in the birth of the Lord's church on the day of Pentecost. The baptism of the Holy Spirit on the apostles on the day of Pentecost is described in the second chapter of Acts as the sound from heaven like the rushing of a mighty wind. This was the wind of truth, straight down from heaven. Remember, this rushing of the mighty wind did not come from the east, north, west, or south. It came straight down from heaven. The wisdom and information revealed on that day would not be the wisdom of any earthly mortal. This would be the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus to the apostles, that when the Holy Spirit is come, He will guide you into all the truth and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you. When the apostles spoke that day, they spake as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. The message the apostles preached that day came down from heaven with the sound of a mighty wind, and under that power they spoke of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and told the inquiring thousands, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And now, ladies and gentlemen, one more word that gets our attention in this interview with the Lord and Nicodemus is the word lifted. He said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." The lifting up of the serpent in Numbers 21 is the last miracle wrought by the hands of Moses, and the first miracle God wrought by the hand of Moses was in Exodus 4, when the Lord told Moses to throw down the rod in his hand, and it became a serpent. Like two great bookends, the miracle about the serpent is used as brackets around all the miracles wrought through the hands of Moses. A comparison between the serpent lifted up on the pole and Jesus lifted up. on the cross is similar. One way, on the pole, the serpent had no poison, and Jesus lifted up on the cross had no poison. In Hebrews it is written, he was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. The serpent on the pole was in the likeness of the real serpent. And Paul says in Philippians 2, Jesus considered not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, but being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. The Apostle John seems to make much of Jesus being lifted up. He not only said Jesus was lifted up as a serpent was lifted up, but on two other occasions he refers to the lifting up of Jesus. In John 8, he records the words of Jesus when he said, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. When he was lifted up in this statement, Jesus refers to himself as the I am. I am he. Sooner or later, the uplifted Christ will be seen as the great I am by everyone. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine. I am the Son of God. Before Abraham was born, I am. I am the door of the sheep. I am the first and the last, the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Then again in John 12, when the Lord said again, as I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But this he said, signifying by what manner of death he should die. The lifting up showed the real purpose. Jesus came into the world. He came to die on the cross. The devil tried to kill him before he was born by abortion. Caesar Augustus made a decree that all the world should be enrolled. This law made it necessary for Mary and Joseph to make that long, hazardous trip that would cause a woman to lose the baby. The devil had this in mind, but Jesus got away. Then the devil tried to kill him again in Luke 4, when they led him to the brow of the hill to cast him down headlong. They thought they had him then, but again, Jesus got away. Again, the devil tried to kill him in John 8 by getting him stoned. They took up stones to cast at him. But again, Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, and Jesus got away. Finally, the devil thought he had him won when Jesus was crucified on the cross. But he arose from the dead the third day, and Jesus again got away the way he had planned to get away. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Another reason Jesus said he would be lifted up was because of the crucifixion. He said it would draw all men unto him. The power of the cross began to be shown even at the cross. One of the thieves was drawn to Jesus by the cross. At the moment of his death, the Roman centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, came to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And there also came Nicodemus. Then it was only 50 days after the crucifixion, on the day of Pentecost. The story of the crucifixion drew 3,000 to accept the terms of pardon given that day as the new covenant of salvation through the blood of Christ was revealed, that would draw all men unto him. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There is a gospel chorus the young people used to sing many years ago that glorified the lifting up of Jesus. The song said, "From sinking sand he lifted me. With tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to realms of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Until next week at this same time, don't forget, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.